Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
it's Fan Mail Friday.
Don't get too excited, people. The ending of this episode is kind of crappy.
All right, so we are at Patrick's basement.
Yeah, we are. We're at maximum capacity again, Jim. It's only a special time when you go to maximum capacity.
Maximum capacity, but we have to do Fan Mail Friday, which, by the way, cheers.
Cheers,
Fan Mail
everybody.
Friday. Yes. It's the best day of the week.
Sounds like a Bud Light tall boy.
We have to do it at your house because you have the key to the P.O. box.
That's right.
And it's like down the street.
Yeah, and also there's a weird thing with some money I owe the post office, and I can't really leave the state. So,
wow,
that's why.
Postal crimes.
Well, that's as far as I can go.
Okay, but what were you saying about the full house? Maximum capacity.
Yeah, maximum capacity. You can only have that when you have somebody special, and it's Adam Woodard.
Adam Woodard.
What's going on, everybody?
Yeah, man.
I'm glad you could join us for Fan Mail Friday.
I'm glad I could be here too. So I've been to your place on the deck and in the basement, but never to Patrick's, which is loaded. Like when they say that there are two very different vibes, they are. But that's not a bad thing because this place is loaded with classic albums. And I think I'm even coming away with a couple gifts from my first trip here.
We're making a donation here from Patrick's basement to Adam's budding vinyl collection, which he talked about in an upcoming episode or a previous episode.
That happens a lot when somebody visits the basement. Yeah. They, you know, Patrick just says, here, take this record.
A man of the people.
That's right.
It was like in Caddyshack when there's a scene where the one... character, the one female character, goes over to his apartment and he's got like uncashed like checks laying around. He goes, take it.
Keep
it. Yeah. Kind of like that here. You're a wealthy man when it comes to records.
That's what
right?
It is. Yeah. I like to share the wealth and pass it along to others.
All right. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And you heard from
Adam Woodard.
Adam here. And Adam, we like to answer correspondence mm-hmm. from our listeners because we have, I think, really smart listeners.
Amazing listeners, yeah. The best in the business.
And as I think I've said before, they really help us because they fill in the gaps for us. They come up with stuff that we didn't think of.
That's right. They're the only listeners that matter.
Yes, exactly. That's very true.
Let's go with that. Oh, Jim, you know Keith Jacobson? He tweeted us.
He tweeted us about Record Store Day.
Yeah,
which we just talked about.
Yeah, I was, you know, he said happy Record Store Day and happy Earth Day. Just don't play your records in the dirt.
Rimshot,
but there's a photo.
Oh,
can you guys
great
see
photo.
The photo?
Yeah, fantastic
here
photo
of the
man.
Records that
yeah.
Keith got.
Keith needs some obviously counseling because he bought Fast Times at Ridgemont High, the soundtrack, including Ravens Raised on the Radio, which is a great song.
Yes,
yeah, but I just have, you know, once that record haunted me, it actually moved off my shelf.
Oh, wow.
Am I saying this out loud? Also, he bought Spoon, and what else did he buy? Elliot Smith.
Elliot Smith.
Yeah. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Tom Petty, the soundtrack to She's the One, which is actually a really underrated record.
Yeah.
Smithereens' Green Thoughts.
Yep, saw that. And what's the 7-inch there? There's a 7-inch that looks nice, too.
Smiths?
Oh, that's the Smiths. That's
yeah, so,
the one.
So talk about that.
Yeah, so, you know, I've been reading a lot about... some of the records that were the hottest on Record Store Day. Because when, you know, when they put the list out, you're never quite sure where people are going to go and what's going to be the most coveted and, you know, how many people are going to get how many copies. But apparently a lot of people were very upset they didn't get the Smiths 7-inch. And unfortunately, some folks have been taking advantage of that and jacking the prices up. So,
okay, and there's another tweet about Record Store Day
mm-hmm.
from our friend Jimmy Lynette.
Yeah.
He says... Don't get me started about colored vinyl. Did we care about pretty graphics on CDs?
Nah, so we didn't care, yeah.
So what he's referencing here is like things like Record Store Day exclusives or really just a lot of sort of like the vinyl culture of today
yep.
being trying to make the record different or unique in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a lot of these, you know, right. that come out, right? They're on colored vinyl or translucent vinyl or whatever. Does that matter to you at all when you buy
records?
It
doesn't matter to me. And in a way, I feel a little pandered to, I guess, because, you know, it's like I got to make it special for the guy who doesn't have it already, right?
Yeah.
You know, But people, remember, there are Adam Woodards out in the world, people that are buying vinyl. You don't need to go to all these great links, right? Does it matter to you, Adam?
No, and that's the thing. If I see something, you know, it's colored vinyl or something like that, that just means it's going to be more expensive, that's which right. means I'm less likely to buy
it. Yeah, I just want the damn music. Yeah. I don't care about the color of the vinyl.
But then again, I am a sucker for a good album cover, like we all say. So yeah. That's the only...
Right, right.
That's the only thing I'll say about that.
Yeah, cover. Yeah, save the resources.
Pretty colors, pretty colors, good. Yeah. Colored vinyl.
Save the colored vinyl money and put it into the cover.
Like yes.
Pay your art director a little more or something.
I once bought a copy of The Who's Who Are You mm-hmm. on picture disc. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
You have no idea. Do you know what picture disc is?
Nope.
So picture disc was a trend in the late 70s, early 80s where it was actually
the album cover was
imprinted on the album itself.
Right.
And it actually, when you bought it, it didn't have the album cover anymore. It just had basically a cover with a big, mm-hmm. you know, 12-inch hole in it.
Right.
And that was...
Well, that's kind of cool.
Slid that like in, a and that thick was the cover plastic itself. Sleeve would be the encasing. Or right. It might have a sticker on it or something. Yeah.
It might be cool. Except the problem with it was the technology of it wasn't very good. And the records didn't sound as good.
No, they sounded awful.
As regular.
Would the picture on the screen get kind of cut up from the needle hitting it and stuff? Did that damage like the actual look of it on there too? Or
no, it wasn't that. It had something to do with, I don't know, the way they put
the
pictures
actually
underneath.
Right.
I don't
exactly.
know. Exactly. There was like a clear vinyl on top of it or something. Right.
Yeah. And most people didn't really play them. Some did, but mostly it was collectors.
For show. Yeah.
Yeah. It was kind of lame.
Look good on the wall.
So I think we're just, you know, proving the point here.
That's right.
Okay. And then while we're on the topic of Jimmy Linetti.
Hey, Jim and Patrick. It's your old friend, Jimmy Linetti. Hey, just listened to your most recent mailbag show. Always entertaining as usual. So I thought I'd keep contributing. Hey, why don't you just allow me right now to gush about my current favorite band? And if I can get them, get the word out on them through Rockin' in the Suburbs, you know, any more listens they can get, it'd be well deserved. But the band is called Bonnie Doon, and I'm just infatuated with them. I came across them, and I just haven't stopped listening, which is pretty rare for me. I'm always sampling new music throughout the day, but when I discovered this Bonnie Doon record, you know, I went 6-7 days straight listening to it straight through every day. So like I said, that's kind of rare because I'm usually moving on to the next thing or making sure I'm not missing out on the next new thing. So it's just a great record. And, you know, I'd recommend a track for you guys to play, but I can't. They're all great. So it even encouraged me to get in touch with the band, which made me feel like a fanboy in his 20s instead of a 53-year-old guy. But I found their email address on their Bandcamp page, and I emailed them. Just because they had a EP that was released on cassette only, and the label that sold the cassette was out of them, so I just thought I'd contact the band to see if they had any cassettes laying around. Jim, I'm sure you can relate. But they did. The bass player, Josh, was super cool. He sent me a cassette. They sent me a T-shirt, and they also sent me a cassette of... some Grateful Dead and Velvet Underground live covers that they did, that they put on cassette, that they were just going to sell that cassette at their shows. So right now they're only doing a little East Coast jaunt, but I've been in touch with Josh, and we're hoping that they make it up to Minneapolis, because I'll be a one-man street team for this band. But again, Bonnie Doon, just a great band, and I'm not exaggerating to say that even in April right now of 2017, I don't see another album knocking them off my top of 2017 list, because it'll be my album of the year easily. So Bonnie Doon, listen to them. D&J Glove Repair, check out our website. Wallets for sale, you know the drill. Father's Day coming up. Thanks, guys, as always. Always a pleasure to talk to you, listen to you. Signing off, Jimmy Linetti. Thanks.
There's so much there.
Does Jimmy advertise on the show?
Yeah, he just did.
Well, in a manner of speaking.
What a good man.
That's all right. He contributes so much.
He does.
That's all right.
Fantastic.
So Bonnie Doon, either of you heard of Bonnie Doon?
I have not.
Nope.
All right. So they are...
How does Jimmy feel about him?
They're
I think
from
he's on board.
They're from Detroit.
Okay.
which is cool.
It's a pretty good rock and roll city.
It's described here on Spotify as laconic garage pop infused with a rickety lo-fi country bent.
Okay.
I have no idea what to expect.
Well, you should have some idea what to expect based on Jimmy's gushing, you know, endorsement. So let's hear a little of a song called Lost My Way.
Sure.
Think of Bonnie Doon.
Man, I love that sort of single pick guitar line. It reminded me of like an early New Order record, right? With the real pulsing kind of steady drums. That was nice. I like the lo-fi production.
You can definitely see why it's going to be one of his favorite albums of the year. If all the songs are similar to that, I mean, it's a nice grooving song that just kind of keeps going. That one riff keeps coming back. That driving, you know, drum beat line.
Keeps
cycling back through.
Yep.
If every song's like that, I could see why he's gushing so much about it. Definitely.
I think in terms of bands out today, they sort of sound like Parquet Courts.
A little bit. Mm-hmm. I like the trebleness of the whole thing. Yep. I love treble myself.
I always like to, you notice how like the singer, like his phrasing or sort of like the pace of how he's singing sounds like it doesn't quite fit with what the rest of the band is doing.
Very
like
Parquet that. Courts. Yeah. Yes. True. Cool. Thank you, Jimmy.
That was good stuff.
Shout out to Jimmy. Hey, Jim, sometimes we get emails.
We do.
Mm-hmm.
We love the emails.
You know this guy, Tony Viviano?
I know because he emailed us.
Yeah, he did. He writes, "Hey, guys, I'm really enjoying the show, and I thought you did a great job with the Guided by Voices episode. They're such a prolific band that it's impossible to cover all the bases, but you guys did a fantastic job." Thank you, man. That was nice of him.
Mm-hmm, very nice.
"I wanted to share an anecdote that particularly touches on the Who's influence on Robert Pollard. A few years ago, a few friends and I drove down to Toledo to see what, unbeknownst to us at the time, would be one of the last shows played by the reunited classic lineup. Before the show, we saw Robert Pollard hanging around by the side of the stage and decided to strike up a chat. He was warm, charming, and full of his trademark sense of humor. At one point, he mentioned something about the 20th anniversary of their album B-1000. Now, perhaps I was pandering a bit, but I misheard him, and I misheard him and said I thought he said Pete Townsend, to which he replied, 'That's just it. Hold your tongue and say Pete Townsend. That's how we came up with the title.' I thought that was neat and hadn't heard that story elsewhere, so I thought I'd share it with you guys. Thanks, and keep up the good work. Tony from Detroit."
Did you know that at all?
No, I'd never heard that before.
B-1000 is a play on Pete Townsend?
Never heard that before.
Pete Townsend. It's kind of close.
There it is, folks. Tony Viviano speaks the truth.
It makes all the sense in the world now, doesn't it?
It really does, yeah.
B-1000.
Pete Townsend.
I would love to know what they were doing at the time that became the reason to do it.
And you might be able to venture a pretty good guess.
Like, but I wonder like what other... like famous rock musicians they tried out.
What were some of the alternate titles? Yeah.
Paul McCartney. Like it just Paul McCartney doesn't work that well.
It's not as funny.
Faye Mercury. You can't do it.
Like, no.
It's tough, but no. Pete Townsend, B-1000. It's perfect.
B-1000. I love it. That's a great story. That's one of the best stories anyone has.
Hold on, let me try this. Hold on.
Phil Collins.
Nope. Doesn't work.
Sure. Doesn't work. Okay.
Weirdly enough, it did work.
Okay, so Patrick, you know Mike Wagner.
I do a little bit. Houston, Texas, right?
Houston, Texas.
He writes, "Gentlemen, I just listened to the Slicing Up Eyeballs episode, and there is a band that was around in the 80s that I wonder if you guys like. I suspect not, but Concrete Blonde? Thoughts? I'm a massive fan. I've seen them like 6 or 7 times. I know Joey was a minor hit in the early 90s, but my favorites are Cold Part of Town, God is a Bullet, Tomorrow, Wendy, Someday, among many others. They also have a great version of Leonard Cohen's Everybody Knows." Hmm. Didn't know that. Also, Jeanette sang on the Replacements' All Shook Down album, so there's that. Signed, Mike Wagner.
Yes.
From Houston, whose music you can sometimes hear behind our promos.
That's right.
Yeah.
So pay attention to that, everyone.
Good man.
All right. Do you guys know Concrete Blonde?
No.
Nope.
Not at all?
Nope. I don't. You know the song? I mean, I know the name.
Okay.
And I probably know Joey if I heard it.
You probably know Joey. You probably know the cover of Everybody Knows.
Maybe I do.
That got some play.
Oh, did it? Okay.
Back in the 90s.
I may, but gosh, right now, I can't recall and off the top of my head what they sound like.
It is true that the singer of Concrete Blonde worked with Westerberg on All Shook Down album, and she sang on the song My Little Problem.
Mm-hmm. Were they from L.A.? I don't know.
I believe they are. They were.
Maybe it's coming back to me now.
And I just want to give her credit. The Concrete Blonde grew out of the Los Angeles post-punk club circuit. And yes, Jeanette Napolitano.
Oh, okay.
The singer,
that name
right?
sounds familiar. Yeah. IRS Records. Yeah.
Right. Now.
Got it.
Mike here mentioned a number of songs. I'll be honest, actually. I don't know that much about Concrete Blonde. I know a handful of songs.
You know more than I do.
He mentioned a few of them here, but he skipped the one that I think is their best song.
Okay.
So let's hear a little Still in Hollywood. Seemed to like that.
I did. I really did. Yeah, yeah. I kind of got lost. I was kind of just noticed I was just staring at this wall of record, just kind of bob my head and listen along to it. I love, you know, female vocals in rock songs. I don't know what it is about it. It's just so aesthetically pleasing to me.
Pretty cool.
I love it. I love the sound of it and everything about there. Just that driving beat that just keeps going and going and going. Just makes you kind of stare off into the wall and just bob your head like I just did for that minute long there.
Little Pretenders in there. Which is
kind of
cool.
It's kind of Pretenders-ish. Yeah. It's it has the kind of like talk sing kind of verses, and
thing,
then it really, you know, goes big in the chorus. So very 90s sounding.
Very cool.
That's good stuff. All right,
thank you, Mike.
So I don't know why Mike would think that we don't like Concrete Blonde.
We just didn't think of them.
Yeah, that's all. Okay, now are we ready for this? This
is
the
part
of the show.
Gosh, we got to go here.
Okay,
all right.
Wait. Before we do this,
let me
just get a little intel here from Adam.
Okay.
Are you a soccer guy?
I am.
Oh, man.
I am.
I'm surrounded by you people.
You're outnumbered, dude.
All right. Well, then I'm going to enjoy this beer.
Okay.
And you guys can talk about soccer. We have, so let me, I'll just set it up. I'll say we did an episode with another sports media friend of ours,
That's
Nate
right.
Scott, used to work with Adam. And you guys talked a lot about soccer songs because Patrick, of course, you're big into footy.
I am.
Footy.
Yeah.
And then we got a flurry of emails and tweets about that. And yeah. We talked more about soccer songs on the last Fan Mail Friday or the one before. I don't remember.
Yeah.
One of the Fan Mail Fridays.
I think both of the last two we've had.
And things. Now we have even more.
Yes,
people will not let this go.
No, it's continuing to snowball.
Just shows you how big of a movement
yeah.
it is.
So that's right. What do we have here?
So Greg Rosen on Twitter says, "You've done football rock to death to prove your point, but wait,
yes.
Who could forget this Bunny Men Spice Girls collaboration?" What? Really? Echoing the Bunny Men and Spice Girls collaborating on a football song, Jim? How does it feel?
Okay. Do you know anything about this?
I do now. I know the Spice Girls were involved, so it must have been around like 1998 World Cup.
1998 World Cup.
That would be about right, yeah.
So this explains a lot. I don't know what you think, Adam, but it explains a lot to me. Like, here's why England hasn't won since 66.
Yep. Because if a collaboration featuring the Spice songs. Girls
Jeez.
Is becomes their yeah. national song for the World Cup, that's...
Oh, it's awful. Oh, I mean, man. Germany or Spain or Italy wouldn't have written a song this bad, right? They would have written a better song than this.
Yeah.
This is definitely dragging the Three Lions down, but, Jim, into the pit.
The funny thing is, though, is that group is referred to as the supergroup England United.
Right.
A supergroup featuring...
Let's not put a lot of pressure on ourselves.
But wait. As somebody who is essentially dispassionate about soccer,
mm-hmm.
just from a musical standpoint,
yeah.
whose idea was it to pair the Spice Girls with Echo and the Bunny Men? Are there two more different groups than that?
There probably couldn't be a whole lot different.
I bet that person didn't have their job that threw that group together for the 2002 World Cup.
Let's hope not.
After that song.
Wow. Okay. What else we got?
I have something to interject,
oh,
Jim.
Go ahead.
A friend of mine, actually, who may or may not be a listener or a subscriber to the show, I have no idea, but somebody obviously told him that we did a show on soccer, so he listened to it, fellow soccer dad, told me that there was a follow-up to the song we played on a fan mail episode by the Lightning Seeds.
Oh, yes.
Remember this band?
Yes.
And they had a song called The Three Lions, or about the Three Lions, right?
Right.
So there's an indie band called Los Campesinos. Do you know this band?
Not at all.
It includes an exclamation point. But yeah, really cool band. They're like a 9-piece band. Very indie rock. Very cool. And they did a follow-up, apparently, or an answer song, I guess, right? Which was an old-school rock and roll thing, to the Three Lions song. And theirs is called Every Defeat, a Divorce.
Yeah.
So apparently a band known for their soccer references.
All right. I guess so.
Good band.
All right. Oh, well, one last thing.
One more thing.
One very last thing here.
Until next time.
Yeah. From Organ of Species, yes, tweeted at us and said, how have I lived 43 years and never been treated to the Super Bowl shuffle? My life has been thus far empty. And of course, that's a reference to, I think, in somewhere in the soccer conversation,
yeah,
you mentioned
Super Bowl shuffle,
right? Yeah. As American football only having that one song.
That's it.
Yeah. That's it. And then we had a little clip of it in the yeah episode, and
that Jim McMahon rap.
It's so great.
You haven't lived until you've heard it. Yeah,
I'm 24 and I'm well versed in the Super Bowl shuffle, yeah, so I don't know how at Adios Pantaloons went with our 43 years without yeah without knowing that song.
That's a hard life, man.
All right, so
better late than never.
Yeah.
This show's going really long.
Yeah.
I hope people have a empty weekend.
That's right. My yeah wife's going to throw us out in about 15 yeah minutes so anyway, so can we get, it doesn't
can we,
matter.
Can we get through just a couple more things here?
I think so, yeah.
All right. So here is another call we have.
Hey, Jim and Patrick. I love your show. This is John Off. I'm in Bunker Hill, Indiana, and I'm frantically trying to catch up. I just found your show 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I'm almost caught up, but I love everything that I'm hearing. Your discussion the last couple of times about Thin Lizzy, first of all, the show, and then your mailbag where you talked about it, got me to thinking. I mean, a lot of people do know Thin Lizzy just by that one hit, and they miss a lot of music that way. I kind of started thinking about how many other bands went on to do some really good things that people don't really know about because they just know that, you know, one hit wonder. I just kind of went through my catalog. I came up with Better Than Ezra. They came out with Deluxe, their first album, still one of my favorite albums. Had a couple of minor radio hits on it, including Good. They still went on to do some really good stuff. I mean, they have 4 or 5 other albums after that that are really good. Same thing with Big Head Todd and the Monsters. I mean, Todd Parkmore put out that first album. It had Bittersweet on it. It had Sister Sweetly on it. Got a lot of radio play and then didn't hear from them again. I've got their next 3 or 4 albums and they're still just as good, in their, that album Beautiful World that they put out 5 or 6 years later. Another one that I really like that I don't think gets a lot of recognition is, Travis. It kind of got caught in between the Radiohead and Coldplay thing, and I think they kind of just got lost in the shuffle. They had another minor radio hit with Sing, but really good band, really tight. Their first album, totally different, and then they kind of edged into that kind of Radiohead-ish sound. And like I said, I think they kind of got lost in the shuffle. Just wanted to tell you guys, keep it up. Love your stuff. I'll be a listener for as long as you guys are on there, and I appreciate all the stuff you're putting out. Thanks for listening to me. Okay. Take it easy. Bye.
All right. Well, thanks very much for the call.
Wow, that was really nice.
John.
Yeah.
Yes. And what do you guys think about that when he's talking about, you know, Better Than Ezra, Big Head, Todd and the Monsters, mm-hmm, and Travis as being sort of bands that maybe didn't get their full due?
Yeah, I was a big fan of Better Than Ezra. He didn't mention Desperately Wanting, which I would argue is probably one of their biggest songs, but okay. Good was also a good one of the too. But I remember seeing them, you know, they've played a bunch of, you know, now being a little bit older, they played with other groups, you know, from like the late 90s, early 2000s, yep, with that, you know, those groups of people, like Oasis and stuff. I've seen them with, yep, like a couple little combo shows where they do those small little mini tours. But I love Better Than Ezra. They're great. I don't know a lot about Travis, to be honest, but Big Head Todd and the Monsters, I know they had the one song he mentioned, but other than that, like you said, I feel like that happens a lot. They have those one hit wonders that trail off, but I would argue, you know, Yellow Card is kind of a band like that too.
Yeah.
One of my favorite bands. They put out 10 albums and everybody knows them from their first, mm-hmm, one, Ocean Avenue, or from them, sorry, their fourth one, Ocean Avenue.
Yeah. Which we talked about.
We did. Right? Yeah. And then, but they've kept putting out songs for the last, you know, 17 years, and they just put out their final album, mm-hmm, you know, this last year. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's crazy how, you know, you have those one hit songs and all of a sudden people just forget about bands because new hits come along.
Yeah, I reviewed Travis once. I saw him at Merriweather Post Pavilion open up a show for somebody else. They were a Scottish band that I kind of liked, and I kind of agree with the caller, you know. I don't know if I agree totally with the Radiohead thing, but I thought they were melodic in the way of a band. I don't know if anybody remembers a band called the Stereophonics. They were kind of like the Stereophonics. They had some cool hooks. They incorporated some of that good stuff that was happening. To me, sort of descendants of Pulp and Blur, and they maybe took that a little farther and combined it with some more guitar rock. But yeah, I always liked Travis.
So I think, Adam, a good episode topic, or maybe we do a couple episodes on this sometime, would be like bands that were like really known for one song. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I want to call them one hit wonders, but you know, bands are primarily known for one song or a couple of songs, but like, but a song, another song from them that we like better,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? Like a song, you know, a deep cut that is better than that.
Oh, right? For sure.
Like, that'd be cool.
Church of the Poison Mind.
That was a hit song.
I know. It was good though. It was better than Karma Chameleon.
Yeah. Right. But I want to hear some Desperately Wanting because Adam was so high on that.
Oh, I love it. Pass the road to your house that you never call home, where they turned out your lights, they will say you'll never know. I remember running through the wet grass, falling a step behind. Both of us never tiring, desperately wanting. When they pumped out your guts, filled you full of those pills, you would never quite right, deserving all the chills. Said it was still.
Now, this is a really good email
mm-hmm.
going up here from Tom Jett of Detroit.
I hope that's his real name. That's as good as Mike Bramble from Houston.
I mean, somebody from Detroit.
A lot of Detroit fans.
That's a
of the show.
Yeah, I mean that is a name you would expect someone from Detroit
mm-hmm.
to be named.
To survive, you need to be named Tom Jett.
That's right. It says, "Hey guys, just discovered your show, catching up on some of your older shows, and wanted to say that I enjoyed your show about beach slang."
Mm-hmm.
I too mail ordered Stoller Tracks 1 and 2. Those are the we've gotten so many emails and tweets about these Stoller Track CDs that I had that apparently a lot of people also got.
Man, you hit a nerve, brother.
They were compilations back in the 90s. Yeah. But anyway, Tom says, "I was and am a big fan of the Candy Skins.
Candy Skins.
It was great to hear a cover of their song Wembley. Sadly, they disbanded after 4 great albums, although the singer, Nick Cope, has 4 solo children's CDs. My kids and the wife and I love his music. This is kids' music that is enjoyable to kids but not annoying to adults."
Hmm.
Maybe this could be a topic for a future episode, rock bands that have made children's music or kids' music that doesn't suck. Anyway, keep up the good work.
Or the time I ripped the head off that Barney doll because it wouldn't start singing.
I make no promises on future episodes. Those are, you know, very private negotiations between myself and Patrick.
Meaning
but
we text each other.
I do. That's right. But I do have Nick Cope's Spotify page opened here.
Okay.
And
not Julian Cope.
No, I have not listened to any of this, but
you're not going to trick us and play Nickelback, are you?
It looks like the most popular song on here is something called "The Baby's Done a Poo."
I remember one time we were on a journey. We were heading for the seaside for the day. We were nearly halfway there, we were having fun, just driving down the road with the radio on, when Dad pulled over 'cause he felt unwell. He felt unwell on account of the smell. Then everybody else said they could smell it as well. Mum said, what could it be? So I pointed to the passenger next to me and said, the baby's done a poo, the baby's done a poo. It's not a big surprise, 'cause that's what babies do. But this was not just your regular pebbly one. Oh no, something really bad just came out of his bum.
Have we completely lost control of this show?
I think so.
Okay. Oh, God. Let's soldier through here.
There's no coming back from that.
I don't think so.
And so let's really quickly do our close, because we brought it really long. You guys have been great, giving us lots of stuff to talk about, and we love it. And
my wife's banging on the door.
Yep, we got to go. So listen to Rock in the Suburbs sometimes.
Every day.
Adam, you missed your cue again.
I don't want to step on anyone's toes. I'm just happy to be here.
All right.
It's your show as much as ours now, man.
You can find us on all the podcast platforms, and you can also find us at suburbspod.com. Mm-hmm. And you could do like these people did. Call the show. That's what we want you to do.
612-440-1984.
Oh, I was going to jump in that time. You were ready to go at that time. I was about to jump in.
Do you know the email address?
I do not.
Oh.
I don't either, though, so it's fine.
Email us, rock@suburbspod.com.
That's it.
What about the Twitter and Facebook?
At suburbspod.
There you go. Very good. We'll keep you on all summer. All right.
Wait for the spinoff, folks. We got to have summer programming when Jim and I go on vacation.
That's right. We go to the beach.
You don't think Adam's taking over? You got another thing coming.
It's a new sheriff in town.
That's right. So, I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
I am Adam Woodard.
We will talk to you later.
Get my Third Eye Blind shirt on and everything.
Yet, hold it. Oh, that's all. That song just celebrated its 20th anniversary, I think. Yeah.
I'm bought tickets the day they announced the tour. They're playing the original album start to finish.
Nice.
But there's a huge issue with that now.
I don't
now.
Need the album. They can just play that song over
Yeah,
and
so
over
the issue with it, though, is that there's...
Whoever what you want to do.